Let's continue our teaching, Christ the Final Truth. What do we mean when we say Christ is the final truth? We have been examining it for some time, and I've tried to explain something. Let me just make one or two sentences to summarize everything we've said before. And that's the fact that religion, normal human religion, is that people are putting in effort to try and reach God. All right? But in Christ, God came down to reach man. Please, bear that in mind. That is the summary of everything that we have said up till now. Now, if you have your Bibles, open to the book of John. I want to start from there. The book of John chapter 4. My message again, today I have a title for it. It's titled Christ the Final Sacrifice or Christ the Final Offering. Choose whichever one you like. Let's just take Christ the Final Offering. I'm going to read a number of scriptures to commence today's teaching. First of all, from the book of John, we'll read from chapter 4. We are reading the story of the woman that Jesus met, the woman of Samaria, who he met by the well. Because we want to save time, I won't read the whole thing, just to highlight. I'll try and get it in context, as I always try to do, but I'll jump to the main thing that I want and stop shortly after I reach there. From verse 7, it says, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now remember that Jesus was left there when his disciples went into the city. They went into the town to go and get some provisions for them. The Bible says, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And then Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And in verse 9, the woman said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman? Now the reason he says, because Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And then they spoke. And then in verse 16, Jesus wanted to continue the discussion, said, go and call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one who you now have is not your husband. And they now said, sir, verse 19, you notice I'm jumping here and just to save time. Now I'm going to slow down now. Says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now because you are a prophet, I have a question for you. Verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem, that is you people, you Jews, you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. He said, verse 23, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. He said, God is spirit. That is, God is not flesh, he's not physical, he's in the spiritual realm. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, that's why I'm going to stop reading. I read most of what I did just to get it in context. The summary of it is that this woman was seeking something, which probably explained why she had had five husbands. Are you getting my point? Those things come because of the emptiness you find in the hearts of people. A lot of people that you are angry with for the kind of lifestyle that they are leading is not because they are, in quotes, I'm not saying they are good, all right? But it's not because they are being wicked. It is because they are seeking something. They are looking for something which they haven't found. May you not grow up in a society where there is no God. You will be on drugs. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, a lot of people are on drugs, not because they want to take drugs, but because they are looking for something. I won't discuss that in details now. But that has search brought her to Jesus Christ that day by divine orchestration. She wanted to know how to worship God. She, being a Samaritan, was not keen on going to Jerusalem. Because of the forefathers who worshipped in the mountains, they decided to worship in the mountain, and she was one of those that was not disposed to go into Jerusalem. He now asked Jesus Christ this question, and that's the answer. It is the answer to that question, actually, that I want to start today's discussion with. He said that the Father is seeking a kind of people to worship him. Now, remember we said, when we were reading last time, There were two phrases we picked. Can you remember them? I said you should repeat at the beginning when we're reading from Ephesians chapter 1 or chapter 2. We talked about former times and then but now. It is a now thing I want to explain again. It is a now factor that confuses people when we are talking about Christianity. That's why people pick some laws. Are you getting me? And then they think that those laws are still applicable. And I've been emphasizing again and again, because what will happen sometimes is that when you're talking to people, they will refer to certain things as proof that what they are doing is good. For example, they'll say that when you want something from God, you make a vow. All right, a vow is good. I'm not saying a vow is terrible. But this is what they mean. That was when Anna vowed to God that God finally gave her something. And even though the account is correct, are you getting my point? But it is a former times matter. And there is what they call but now. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is a but now. Now here, Jesus said to this woman, there was a time people had to go to Jerusalem. That's a matter of fact. And the Jews were correct in that you had to go to Jerusalem. He said, but an hour is coming, and now is. And you and I know that that hour was defined, or the change of that time, all right, was defined by his coming, his death, and his resurrection. So what happens afterwards is a but now matter. But there is a former times matter. You get my point? There is a former times, how things are supposed to be done. Sometimes we pick things from there. So he said that Anna vowed to God. So tonight, if you want something from God, you will vow to him. And sometimes we seem to get results. But listen, I'm not here to discuss results. We are here to discuss what? Truth. To discuss what? Truth. To discuss what? Truth. All right. Now, this is the point. The truth, okay, is that even though we get results sometimes, like I said, God is very kind. He's looking at our heart and he's trying to help. He's not trying, all right, to make sure that every doctrine is correct, okay? But the truth is that you don't get things from God now because you promised him something. There was a song I was singing as I was getting ready, dressing up, you know, ironing in the house. My wife was wondering what was making me so happy. I just remembered the song. I sang it for a while. And I began to modify it, add things to it. Now, can I sing it? I don't know how it's good, but some of you may know it. It goes like this. He took my sins away. He took my sins away. You heard it before? He that knew no sins, everything he paid. I didn't have to beg him nor promise anything. I just accepted Jesus. He took my sins away. Have you ever heard that song before? Old school. Okay, I'll give you the next line. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Oh, things have passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. Finish it now. All right. You know, I don't know. As I was getting ready, I remember that song. Well, that first part of it I remembered. I said that I didn't have to beg him nor promise anything. I just accepted Jesus. And that's what I'm trying to explain to Christians again today. That you don't have to beg him or promise anything. What he said is that just accept. Last time I talked about the gift of God. Now, receiving the gift of God. The mistake, that's what I'm trying to emphasize in all of these teachings. The mistakes Christians make is that, the thing is pervasive. It's everywhere today. They say that for you to get from God, you know, it's woven into their system. They have to do something for him. I'm saying to you again today, I said it last time, I discussed it in details. If you do that, you insult him. You hear what I said? When you do that, what do? You insult him. You insult him. My message today is titled, Christ the Final Offering. Remember that? We're talking about Christ the Final Truth. I talked about the gift of God, receiving the gift of God. Today I'm talking about Christ the Final Offering. Why am I talking about this? Because when we are talking about offering these days, Christians still use it as a way of trying to reach God, as a way of trying to get something from God. And I want to just go straight to the point so that we will understand it. Listen to this. Offerings, every offering you see in the Old Testament, and when I'm talking about Old Testament, I mean both before the law and under the law, everything was a type. Now listen to this. Everything was a type of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Every single one. And once Jesus came, all of them came to an end. You know, I was saying something last time. When I got home, I showed it to my wife. She was surprised to hear it. I said, because as I was saying it, I realized it. People talk about Thanksgiving offering. Now, let me say something to you. Sometimes in churches we begin something and it is nice. We are not dogmatic about it. We just like the idea. For example, churches do harvest. Are you getting my point? And then everybody now knows that harvest is the time we church collects money. Listen, it's not bad. It's not good. It's just something that we have chosen to do. The next week is our harvest. What do you mean by harvest? Bring everything to church. We say harvest and Thanksgiving service. There is nothing wrong with it. Please, you must understand me. I am not trying to say that it is wrong. Because sometimes, you know, we had those problems when we learned the word of faith. We criticize. Now, when I say we, it's just trying to sound important. We're too small to join. We're the small boys, you understand, who things are being handed down to. Everything that was done in organized religion, it was a subject of criticism. Are you getting my point? But later, as those people that criticized began to grow, they began to do some of those things. They said that there's no... The name Reverend doesn't mean anything. If one of my classmates said, Reverend is the name of God. And he had the scripture to support that. If I one of our brothers, one day, the first day I saw him wearing a collar, I almost fell down. You know what they call collar? That what? You are wearing a collar. Now, that's why it's not good to talk too much on some things. You understand my point? We had laughed about those things those days. When I saw him wear a collar, I was like, excuse me, sir. And I said, no, you know, sometimes you do these things you don't learn that now. So it's no longer an iniquity. So if you want to wear collar, it is fine by me, all right? There's no difference between a collar and a tie. All of them is the way you want to appear, okay? Just know that your collar won't get you to heaven. That's all. Once you are sure of that, there's no problem, all right? The Lord is good. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm not criticizing those things. They are unnecessary, okay? That's it, criticizing them. So, I'm bringing an issue here. Sometimes churches do harvest. And if you are doing harvest and a member of the church, I will also come to participate in the social ceremony and the gathering of funds for the propagation of the gospel. Do you understand my point? One thing I will not do, if you are used to me, all right, you will not find me mount the pulpit and preach any message on harvest. Most of the times, those messages are not true. Beyond that, I don't see anything. To me, it's not a big deal. You know, children should be allowed to play, and we are children of God. Are we not children of God? But we should know when we are playing. All right? If we are building sand to build houses, all right, put water, put cement, you know it's play. Your father won't complain. He will pass. When wahala will start, it's when you go and meet estate agent and put rent. Then your father suddenly realized, like, hey, wait. This boy is believing that house. The house is just using more than things in the front of the house. You now go to an agent's office, simply we have house for rent in the back of our father's house. And that's what has happened right now in Christianity. Many of those things that were jokes, we're playing, we're feeling happy with ourselves, it is harvest. We have now turned it to real things. And before we know what's happening, we are beginning to put demands on them. Like this man, where he said he went to preach somewhere the other day. And when he finished preaching for a few days, the host pastor told him that, look, these messages you preach are very good. But now you will tell them that except they tithe with an offering, it will not work. So you know, when I say some things I say, you don't realize that I have my reasons. I have experiences. The person told him that, now, please, you will do me a favor. Go up to this message, tell people that everything you have preached for the last 3 days, for it to work in their lives, they need to connect it and tie it with an offering. Now I look at the guy and say, what do you need money for? Tell me, I'll go and say that one openly. As for use my offering, to use my message to tell people to tie. A woman called me one day. She had some health issues. So she called somebody who prayed for her before she spoke with me. The person said, how much offering did you give that day of that prayer? That one said, let's assume something like, let's just say 1,000 naira. I can't remember for sure now. It was, no. That one is not enough to tie the hands of God. You see, this is our sand castles we're building. This is our mud house that we're building as children, thinking we're playing. We have not carried to the estate agent's office. We are not advertising it for people to buy property in Dubai. Meanwhile, it is those jokes that we are referring to. Now God has gotten tired. So initially my children were playing. I was looking at that. That was a joke. But now they have begun to believe their own jokes. And that is why I want to explain again to you today that the word offering in the New Testament was not used once for such things. I said to him something last time, let me just pick up from there. I said that, you know, along the line we used to say things. Okay, this is my Thanksgiving offering, and it's cash. I have realized that it does not exist in the New Testament. It's not in the Bible. It's a church habit. It's not an evil habit. But we need to get it clear. In the scriptures, I'll get to it straight. In the New Testament, there I took time out to search everywhere where the word sacrifice or offering was used to connect with related, that is, in relation with worshiping the true God under the New Testament. Because there are times you will hear of an offering, and it's referring to an Old Testament practice that under the law, the priest had to do this with an offering. Of course, I was careful to look at all of those things. But talking about the New Testament practice, I found very, very, very few. And all of them had to do with two things. One, it had to do with the sacrifice of praise. Your lips. Open to it quickly. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. Quickly. Open to it. Verse 15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Then verse 16 says another one. Let me quickly read that one so that we don't have to come back. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Now, notice that. Now, you can look up now. Those are about the only references. You know the interesting part? I was telling my wife something. That when you look out, all right, go to just search around. Some of the things that I say, and people have disagreed, that, you know, they're actually not novel. They are not unique. It's not only Pastor Banky that says them. You go around, you see that people are teaching these truths. I decided to just do a small search, all right, just to see what other people have taught about offerings in the New Testament. To my surprise, 3 consecutive ministry websites I read, I didn't know any one of them before. The 3 I picked randomly, all of them said the same thing about tithe and offering that I have been saying. And I'm surprised that people are not bothering to listen to them. I told my wife that, what is even going on? Why do I sound strange to a lot of people? I'm not even unique. That's get my point. I'm not saying that. I picked randomly 3 different websites, different ministries teaching the word of God, and they all said the same thing, almost word for word. One of them, an Orthodox church. I mean, I don't mean more than the Orthodox. I mean, okay, the word is Coptic something, you know? One of those Coptic Catholic, you know those Coptic Catholic, Catholic Coptic. You know, Nigerians have never heard them before. If they opened in Nigeria, you think it's a cult. Because we have never heard those names around here. And I was surprised. And I told my wife, I said, what is going on? Why is this truth out there and people are not rushing for them and grabbing them? Why do they like bondage? Listen, in the New Testament, number one, let me go back to the Old Testament first. All those offerings that you hear about, under the law, there were 5 of them. You will hear of burnt offering. I'm not going to analysis now so as not to bore you. Let's get to what we want to say. You'll hear of burnt offering, sin offering, trespass offering. Then there's a grain offering. There are about 5 of them. All of them was saying something about the Lord Jesus. There's a scripture we should read quickly. Again, it will help us. Just a few steps to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. I'm talking about Christ, the final offering. You see what it said. For the law, verse 1, since he had Only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make perfect those who draw near. Let me just stop there. That verse 1. Alright? Notice what he said. That the law had what? A shadow. That's why I read this. The law had what? A shadow of things to come. It is wrong for Christians to take shadow things and make them into a doctrine. I said to us last time, these things typed Jesus Christ. Jesus is the real deal of what these things were describing. When you talk about, of course, I'm happy Christians don't make that. That's normal Christians. So there are some white garment people that still do it. Yes, I mean normal Christians. You go to some white garment churches. In fact, you just go to heaven, say, Jesus Christ, come back. Put him in the grave. You understand my point? Undie him. This is not resurrection now. You know, like, reverse the thing. Because as far as those people are concerned, he hasn't died. There are crazy people. The world is crazy. That still offer animal sacrifices and they call it a church. Listen, unless you're thoroughly blind, you should not even be confused as to whether they are a church or they are not. They will still be using cock. No, turtle dove. That's Nigerian turtle dove, I guess. They still do those things. Wring the neck of the animal, just like the Bible said they should do to the turtle doves. 2,000 years after Jesus Christ. That's either the height of confusion, or they are not at all, of course, which is the more likely thing, they are not at all Christians. I'm not talking about them. Christians would sometimes take the shadow things and now make them into a law today. And actually, God is very displeased with it. That's what I'm trying to teach. I'm telling you the heart of God, he's not happy. I give a very good example. These days, Christians have begun it again. They say that, okay, first fruit, without your first fruit, God will not bless you. Let me tell you something about offerings. Offerings were done, okay, for a number of reasons. One was to, in fact, even in Africa, all right, primitive religions, you know what I mean, those heathen religions, is the same principle. The offerings were done to appease the gods. Are you getting my point? Under Judaism, also the same thing. For you to approach God as a sinner, you had to come covered with blood. Maybe not physical blood, but an animal sacrifice had to be made. The whole burnt offering was a sign that the person approaching was a sinner. So that was why the animal was killed, the blood sprinkled, the animal burnt completely, all right, apart from his skin. Those things were done to appease God. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Every sacrifice was like that. That's why they had consequences when you didn't do them. Now, this life, oh God, please help me to explain. You know, just like you have, you know, sometimes you put on your computer, do you understand? And your Wi-Fi is on, you just see all the Wi-Fi networks around you. But you can't feel them. You can't say, what was that? You say, no, it's not mosquito, not Wi-Fi. You understand? It doesn't happen. You don't feel it landing on your neck. You don't scratch your hair. You say, what happened? No, it was Wi-Fi that was touching my head. No, but it's all there. Controlling how your machine behaves. Your machine is sensing them every time. It's costing you, you know, some power to be able to detect those things. And you connect with a particular one if you desire to. Are you getting my point? Now, many things are like that in the air, in life. People don't, and many having a direct effect on your life, you don't even know. So the fact that you don't directly feel something does not mean it's not there. There are many spiritual forces. There are spiritual principles that are controlling all the things happening on earth, which you have to interact with them or stop some of their effects for your life to move forward. And that was why God gave this animal, the sacrifice of animals to people. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't just a religion. That's why the thing was all over the world. People actually had to sacrifice animals to prevent the wrath of God from coming upon them as sinners. That's a matter of fact. I was really studying. I realized that when God, after Noah came, look, the wrath of God did not end when Noah came from the ark, came out, because everybody had been destroyed. The earth was still polluted. Noah now offers sacrifices, and God smells the soothing salvo and now began to make declarations. Now, for that declaration to work on your life, you have to continue to sacrifice like Noah. The earth is under a curse. That's what I'm going to emphasize. And the curse on the earth could be pushed back by the shedding of blood, the blood of an animal. That's how God did it. But the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. What God did was what they were doing that time was a foreshadowing of the real sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ. Now, please, I'm trying to begin an explanation here. So when you see some of the principles we bring up, please listen to this. Some of the principles we bring up is because certain people have come to realize that as a matter of fact, those things actually push back the hand of death. For example, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, and Daniel interpreted the dream and realized that judgment was coming upon Nebuchadnezzar. And they gave him a prescription, just like a doctor would do. Gave him a prescription on what to do. He wasn't sure it would work. He said, peradventure, it might happen that there will be a prolongation of the days of your prosperity. Maybe it will be elongated till you die. You won't experience it. Now, please, I'm explaining something. So all these sacrifices have their uses. They had their reasons why God gave them to mankind. God taught men to sacrifice. Like, you know, I heard this thing long ago. I heard this thing when I was in university. That when Adam and Eve sinned, before God sent them out, he first shed the blood of an animal to atone for their sins. And the Bible didn't say that clearly. All we know is that the Bible said that he covered them with skin. It was later on I also studied, I found out that thing is true. Because the whole burnt offering, the one part of it that God didn't burn was the skin. So apparently it was the same thing. God killed an animal, took the skin, and offered the rest of the animal to himself to atone for their sins. This life, your sins must be atoned for, otherwise you are done for. That's a matter of fact. So people perceive those things. They read the scriptures, they see the appearance of them. Do you understand? I don't want to keep on giving examples. When David sinned and Israel was dying and dying, finally when David had to stop the hand of the angel of death from continuing to slaughter the people, God told him to go and offer a sacrifice. They actually physically saw the angel with his sword drawn, waiting. That's where he heard the story that he said, I will not offer to God something that cost me nothing. That was when David offered that sacrifice. Now listen to this. These are the reasons why people do what they do. So everything we do, I'm talking about offerings. Everything we do in life as an offering, actually what we are trying to do is to appease the wrath of God and to put out the blessing from him. Therefore, and that's why I said last time, that Paul warned that if you have the knowledge of Jesus, because the ultimate sacrifice was Jesus Christ, all those sacrifices, they came to an end in him. Every single one. Jesus, by his sacrifice, his blood, let me put it like that, is an inexhaustible pool of atonement. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, it is an inexhaustible pool of atonement. That is, no matter who you are, no matter how many you are, no matter what the problem is, the atonement that God recognizes is the one in the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything before that was a foreshadowing of what will happen. Therefore, I said last time and I'm saying it again, for anyone who has believed in Jesus to still try to do anything so as to appease God is a sin. That is why I say to you boldly, if you didn't listen to me before, you are safe. But now you have listened, you are in trouble unless you obey the truth. Listen, this is how it is. If you leave Egypt, enter promised land. Otherwise, you are dead in the wilderness. If you know one die, not just come up for Egypt. As they are going, hide. You know why I'm saying this? If you believe anybody telling you that you need to tithe to have God rebuke the devourer for your sake, you're in trouble. Let me say it again. If you believe it, that I need to do something beyond activating my faith in Christ to have the devourer rebuked for me, you're just asking for trouble. I am not here talking about tithing now. That's not my problem at all. But I want you to understand that when people do things, that's why they do them. They are afraid of trouble. They are begging for blessing. What they call sacrifices. What we call offerings. For the Jews, there were straight commandments. And without going into detail about it, listen, let me just say briefly. These were negotiated agreements. The Jewish law was a negotiated agreement. Everything, God said, look, I will give you commandments. You followed, you are my people, I will bless you. And they said, no problem. So when Malachi came after them, it was because they were breaking the agreements. But those agreements were based on spiritual principles. That's why you find them before the law. But like I said to you before the law is still former times. Do you understand my point? Whether it was under the law or before the law, it's still former times. That's why animal sacrifices is ended. What ended it? Jesus Christ. It's not scientific enlightenment. See the scientists who are shouting these days, I see there's no God. You know why they can't talk? It's called backsliding. What I mean by backsliding? When God liberated people, they stopped offering animal sacrifices, yet they entered into prosperity. Nobody in the history of mankind could have ever entered into prosperity without sacrificing animals. It wasn't possible. Nobody. Some of them sacrificed human beings. Nobody. No matter how righteous you were, nobody could have entered into prosperity, long life on this earth, without sacrificing animals. It was impossible. Your so-called civilization would have died because the earth upon which you built it is cursed. You are getting my point? All the scientists were shouting this thing. It's because when Jesus liberated people, their ancestors prospered without sacrificing anything. It was simply because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that they tapped into by faith. So the descendants for God's sacrifices, and it's always the same, they will eventually collapse. It's always, look, that's just the way it is. Please, I'm emphasizing a point. Why animal sacrifices ended is not because we became scientifically enlightened. No. It was because the knowledge of Jesus Christ began to spread. That's why till now, ask me one religious group. Real religion, I don't mean Scientology. Religion. Where they don't do sacrifices. What you don't understand is that they always sacrifice. The sacrifice may be colored. The other day I was telling you, you know, I told you essentially a lot about Hinduism. Yes, they use their own flesh for the sacrifice. It's not possible. What ended it is Christ Jesus. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. He's the end. Listen to this. Quickly. Open your Bibles. Let's continue reading. We should read some things. That book of Hebrews. All right, let's just start from verse 11. I'm going to verse 12 then. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. He said, for if the blood of bulls and the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify the kind of the flesh, how much more, verse 14, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, let me just stop here. All right? Why I read this is that word he used in verse, that phrase he used in verse 12. He said, he entered not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once and for all. I looked at that word, for all. I read many versions. There was one version that used the expression clearly. He said, he has gone. Bible in basic English says, he has gone once and forever. That is, it's an eternal deal. Once he's done it, it's persistently and perpetually done. It doesn't have to be done again. Before that, people had to sacrifice yearly, monthly. In fact, what they call sin offering, you find that you broke a law. You were not intending to break a law. You just found out that you broke a law. You had to offer a sin offering. People did it all the time. But here we read that Jesus carried his blood and entered into that heavenly tabernacle once and for all time, for all people, forever. A single entrance puts an end to every form of sacrifice after that. Listen, what I'm speaking, okay, let me just say the way it came to my mind. What I'm speaking against by explaining this truth is this idea Christians have that they still offer God sacrifices so as to get something from him. So as to appease his anger. It's funny because you see sinners. They will not depart from their sins, but they must always settle God. That's being a heathen. That's how heathens behave. I can steal. Listen. Somebody actually told another person. This girl was a harlot. You know what they call harlot? You know what the harlot is? Yes. It's good to use good Bible words. People will know. A high class level harlot advising her sister on how the business is done. That's the summary of it. And one that makes sure you don't forget to pay your title. That's just the thing. Make sure that, because at that time God will vex. And the Lord will arise in his anger. Why? My money is not complete. But you see, the point is, you see, it's a human and heathen mentality. The heathen did not believe in departing from his sins. He believed in offering correct sacrifices. That's it. I reasoned about it. I found out that what we call offering today in Christianity, all right? Let me give you an example. In church, we say offering time, blessing time. Like I said, those things start as a joke. And we are children, we are playing, and children should play. Do you get my point? The problem is that when you start believing your own joke, the truth is that thing we call offering is not an offering, really. No, let me say what I'm saying. You know, we ceremonially come to drop it in a box and dance. Oh, God. How many of you saw the dance? Somebody sent me a dance of one guy dancing. Have you seen it? Hey, man, that guy. Somebody said that. I also know be 1 million. That's a 1 million naira dance. Now you go put 5 naira offering. You know. Another of my friends said, no. That dance is 1 million. It's not even like you have, that is already 1 million naira. So if he puts 5 naira offering, that means the guy gave 1 million and 5 naira. Now, so you see, we dance. You understand? We are happy. And people actually say things like this. You never come to the presence of God without an offering. That is not true in New Testament context. It is not true. You can come. Which one is presence of God anyway? Let's even say. Which one is presence of God? I don't even know. I really don't even know which one is presence of God now that we're even talking about. Because many of you have come to see me without an offering before. I don't have the Spirit of God inside me. Did you not come with the presence of God? You come for Bible study, is that the presence of God? When you are in your house and you and your wife are praying, is that not the presence of God? Yes. Which offering did you give that time? Your wife, you'll be the priest. You tell your wife, then your wife tell you will be the priest also. So you exchange money and deceive yourselves. Come on, let's stop all of this. What we actually give in church, what we give in church is a contribution to the progress of the gospel. It's not an offering per se. It's a contribution. So it's not, are you getting what I'm saying? It's not an offering time that is special time. Look, this is what I believe. You know, I go to churches now, please don't get me wrong. You pass an envelope, I try to drop something substantial inside, and you know. But I've always told people that If I attend the church regularly, and which is what I do in Kingdom Word Ministries, which is what I encourage everybody here to do, which is a law for our co-workers, I know when I'm paid. I know when money comes in, and I balance many things. I balance this, how it is. I balance the need of the assembly with the amount of money that I have. Are you getting what I'm saying? And with the amount of commitment I have to something, and amount of commitment I have to other things, I balance the whole thing, and I apportion money appropriately. So, I'm a member of a church. At the end of the month, either transfer cash or write a check. And I don't owe anybody a regular offering every Sunday. I think it's a fat joke. It's unnecessary. I know where my money comes. Or if I've made a particular commitment that, okay, this is how much I'm going to be giving to this particular work every month, I don't have to dance. I can dance to the banking hall. I can dance to the banking hall. I will say some things that you feel like I'm a wicked person, but I have to tell the truth. Do you know one major reason why we make people come to the front? It's so that you can't sit down. Because if we pass the basket, you know, go get up. It has become church habit. The main reason why we do this is just like, okay, if I say pass the basket, you just pass it. That is why we make a ceremony out of it. The fact is that in itself, it is not an offering. In itself, please get my point, because you see, because there's the doing of good works. Because there are a number of things that are, after studying the New Testament well, two things. Did I mention both earlier? I mentioned the first one, which is what? The sacrifice of praise. Then I read the second portion, which makes it clear that it said we should do good works and be ready to share. And it said this is an acceptable sacrifice to God. A generous lifestyle, a kind lifestyle. I'll say something to you. In fact, you will see something about New Testament offerings. I was reading Paul, and I was using the way he used the word offering. One thing that was we won't talk about that, is that he just said, explained that he's offering the Gentiles as a sacrifice to God. That is what he was just saying, is that I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. The exercise of my ministry is a sacrifice to God. You understand that concept? But he also says something, which is what's most important. Romans chapter 12, we should read it. Though we know it, but we should read it. The time has come, listen to me, people of God, for Christians to stop believing their own jokes. Once we realize some things are jokes, it's okay. Are you getting my point? Yes. For example, that dance we're talking about, that brother that danced, and you say that brother is a cheerful giver. Look, go and read my track, Cheerful Giver. Your dancing has nothing to say about your cheerfulness. Dancing means you like to dance. There are cheerful givers that hate dancing. They don't like to talk. They Nicodemously drop their contributions to the work of God, the work of ministry, and they move on. And they are happy doing it, but they won't raise one leg. When you say, come and give, this is how they will just be doing. Dance, you should be a cheerful giver. The guy is cheerful. You know why? That money was not taken from him. It wasn't taken from him by compulsion. He wasn't using it to bargain to get anything from God. God blessed him. Maybe he did a job and they paid him heavily. And he said, good, there is a reason why God sent me this money. And the reason I said it is because we are doing this particular thing in this particular church that I attend. So he comes to give that money towards it. He's not afraid of tomorrow. He's happy to be of service with his life. That's a cheerful giver. Did he dance? It doesn't matter. Because God says something, I look at the heart. In his heart, he's dancing. That's spiritual dancing. Most, listen, this is 2014. By God's messages like this should permeate the air. Over the next few years, the joke should come to an end. I believe God. So as of today, I'm making this statement. Most Christians do give today and not cheerful anything. Most of them, at best, they are cheerful investors. As they are giving the money, they are happy. Say, God, you know, I wish I had the projector, you know, to show you that guy's dance. If you haven't seen the dance we're talking about, please ask somebody, where the dance? Where the dance? That dance is very powerful. Some people are dancing like that. Why? They are expecting something back from God. Say, as I'm giving you this, you are going to give back to me. So they are dancing in anticipation of what God will give to them back. They are not actually cheerful givers. They are cheerful investors. Romans chapter 12. He said, therefore I urge you, brethren, verse 1, that's what I'm starting from. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, why did I read this? There is what they call acceptable, all right, sacrifice. As I read this, he said, this holy sacrifice is acceptable to God. And what did he call it? He said, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. When Paul will speak at other times, he will talk about himself as that I'm being poured forth as a drink offering on the service of your faith. The sacrifice of Christianity, the offering of Christianity, there are just two things. Or maybe I can say three. Number one, we've already explained that it's a praise that comes from our mouth. The thanksgiving that comes from our mouth to God, that's number one. Number two, we saw that the general doing of good works, the attitude in life that gives to other people, that, you know, the cheerful giving attitude. Not, please get my point, not a single offering, that, like we say it now, but this general lifestyle in itself, that's a sacrifice, acceptable. But that other one, actually, that's what I said, is it two or three? It's the same thing as what we're talking about here. It said, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. That is, how you live your life is actually the real sacrifice that God takes. That's what it is. That's why it's just two things. One, praising God. Two, how you live your life. I'll talk about money briefly. Money is a tool. It's a reflection of what you believe. It doesn't buy you any favor with God. The only thing that buys favor with God is faith in Christ Jesus. There's something we read last time. Let's read it again, then I think I can finish my talking. Remember, I said, why am I saying all of these things? I want people to understand that once Jesus came, he put an end to all these efforts in trying to reach God and draw something from him. The only thing that we do now is to hold on to our faith in him. Why? Because by the power of that inexhaustible supply of spiritual power that's in his blood, everything has been solved. Remember the example I've been giving again and again. My son gathering money, maybe he manages to arrive at 50 naira, thinking that cannot buy fuel to take him to school one day. And I'm a human being. The amount of money I have is technically limited. Yet, compared to what he has, I'm like El Shaddad. You know, there's El Shaddai, and then there is El Shaddad. Are you getting my point? Compared to what he has. But we are dealing with the El Shaddai, the real one, in whom nothing, that is the power, Paul talked about the power of his resurrection. I said something earlier, that in life there are forces controlling things around. And people try to ward off the evil ones by offering sacrifices. Paul said, what we need is the power that was injected into the air by virtue of his resurrection. That if we connect with that one, all the other ones don't make any meaning. And that is what we put our effort into. We've been broadcasting it on air, how to partake of Christ's resurrection. It is by forsaking the former life and holding on to faith. That's all. But let's read the scripture so I can see what I want to say and say it quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. Please, I want you to look from now on, walk in liberty. That's what I'm going to say. I've heard people say things like, anytime I'm going to church and I want to give offering, I always make sure my notes are correct. I give God my best. It's a joke. You know when we say it, I don't feel bad about it, but it's a joke. Just don't believe it. So I choose the best notes when I was preaching. Said I go to the bank, they know me. I collect brand new notes. They know that one is for offering. I say, excuse me, sir, the value is the same. Look for I know you say that, no, I know the value is the same, but it shows you how seriously I take offering. And that's the point I'm making, that's idolatry. Because you think that that cash in that envelope is special. Because you dance, and the people now tell you things like, pray over it. What are you praying over? It's a contribution. What's your problem? This sorcery we do in Christianity. Oh, he's speaking over money. You know, you don't realize how absurd it is. We've practiced it so much, we don't realize it is absurd. You know how you should handle money? Grab the money, toss it inside, and walk away. One day, I was supposed to preach. I was in church. And this was one of those, and you know, this is how I do money matters. Eh? I just say it the way it is. So that they say, okay, Pastor and I discussed, and I said, all right, what is the idea? The idea is that, guys, and like I told you, there's nothing wrong with these things. There's nothing wrong with it. This amount of money we need every month to run this church, we're not going to beg Alhaji Dangote. We thank God for his life, for what he's doing for the country, as he's building the refineries, but we will not go and beg him for money. It is you and I that the first set of people that God will use. So, we have to do it. And that's how I do my things. I just stand up and tell you like that. So that day when I finished speaking, I said, everybody, you take a piece of paper, write what you're convinced in your heart you can drop on a monthly basis so that the church can look forward to it. And just write it down. And please make sure you fulfill your commitment. So the paper was shared. At the bottom of it, they wrote prayer point. I told everybody, look, at the bottom, they wrote prayer point. Don't believe them. It's a lie. Nobody's planning to pray for you. The whole church scattered with laughter. I said, don't write any prayer point there. This is money point. Just write the money on that paper. I said, why are you... You know, the whole church was laughing. I said, wait. I told them, I said, look at the paper. Look at the length of it. Can you see the tiny column there for prayer point? Does it look like anybody's planning to prove it? The whole church scattered with laughter. I said, if you need prayer, I called brother in charge of the prayer unit. I said, see him over there. Go and meet him. He will pray with you. Go and meet one of the pastors. They will pray with you. Don't write your prayer point on money paper. They are two separate matters. You know, is this idolatry that we bring to Christianity? We think we can see, you know, so you will add the prayer point to the offering point or to the money point. You want to join the two of them. I've come to preach to you today, they are not joinable. God has not joined them together. So we should be kind and put them asunder. If you want to give money, you know what you do with money? You give it. Give it and walk away. Don't tie anything to it. What are you tying? You say, tie this to your offering. I told God this year. That is why you've been telling God for 4 years now. I am begging you, stop it. Did you hear what I said? I said, Christ is the final sacrifice. Is the final offering. It is because of him that we'll get anything from God. When you live here, everywhere you go, hold this truth tight to your heart. Because if you don't, what will happen that you'll be forced to remember it after a long time? You know, I've said this one before, and I know it's the Holy Spirit that's saying it. If I feel like saying it again. The next time you sow a seed like that, for every naira you sow, you lose another naira. And nobody's paying you back. And it's a spiritual manifestation to bring you to the knowledge of truth. But if you kneel down gently, separate the two aspects of your life. Say, this one, I want to ask God for something. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, not in the name of my money. You know, I avoided the word offering. I'm avoiding it carefully. Not in the name of what I have done. You will get your answers faster.
Separate the two. They are not joined. That money you carry to a church is not an offering, it's a contribution. These are among the things that Christians do. They say that we want to start a business. So let's look for a pastor that we will be giving to from that business. Let's look for a ministry we will be contributing to from that business so that the business will do well. I have come to tell you today, it's another joke that Christians have institutionalized. You know why you do such things? You feel like you are buying God's commitment to prosper that thing. And it doesn't work. He just that it's popular, it does not work. People do it. Want to start something? Assume that you want to start a car wash. You go and locate three pastors, you'll be washing their cars free. Why? So that when they come, they will pronounce a blessing. I have come to tell you today, you are wasting your time. You know why I'm happy I'm the one saying this? Because I should have been one of the beneficiaries of these things. I told you before, you know why you do things for pastors? Two reasons. There's no third one. When you find a third one, come and share it with me. I will learn. But all these years I've been checking, I've not found a third one. Number one reason is that if a man is ministering the word, the Bible says, Paul said, it is his duty, it is his right to feed from it. When you recognize that you're a co-worker with God, when you give the man money so he can eat. That's one. Because he doesn't have somewhere to go and draw income from. He has to draw it from you and me. Whether he's blessing you personally or not is irrelevant. If I'm acquainted with a man, he's preaching the truth, I'm persuaded that he's preaching the word of God. Every time I see him, it is part of my duties as a Christian to ensure that he doesn't have to lie to it. That's why I wrote the book, So Who Will Pay For This? Many of us that criticize preachers, when we get to heaven, and they are dispensing the flogging for lying in the name of God, you will be surprised that we will get more than the man who lied. Assume your name is Jumbo. And listen, you're a businessman. You never, all you used to do to go to church is to just go there and hear the word of God. And you are there in the market. Don't mind all these preachers who just be lying anyhow. They just want to collect money. You know, they'll just be collecting money and they'll be saying we should sow. You know, they are reaping. You know. That's what one man tell me one day. You finish everything. And truth to the people are lying in the name of the Lord. You're not lying. So one day God will judge now. God will judge. Then you get to heaven. He said, good. Because they're not going to go to hell. Don't worry about it. They won't go to hell. They'll just flog them in heaven and then give them and dress their wound. Don't worry, they won't go to hell. All this on the you think God is looking for who to throw to hell? Maybe we describe God sometimes. You think God say, this heaven is overcrowded. Let's. Some people think that narrow is the way that leads to life because of small space. God can't accommodate everybody. So to save the population problem, everybody, hellfire. Don't worry about it. You are not going to hell. Amen? The only reason why you go to hell is if you are not a true believer. If you are a true believer, don't worry. I'll see you in heaven. You may get flogged, you know. I may be having to wipe your back, but you will reach there. The Lord is good. No, I'm not one of those who say that once saved, always saved. Once saved, he can take his life back from Christ. Though. It's in the Bible like that. It said there are those who it's not possible to renew to repentance. It's in the scriptures. And Jesus said to them, be careful so I don't erase your name. It means there's an eraser. Except he doesn't use it every time. Instead of using the eraser, he uses cane. Yeah, no, God beats Christians. And sometimes he kills them early. That the way this boy is going, he goes spoil something. Behead him. Bring him up here. Then give him one big cube at the back of the mansion. At least it's better than hellfire. A day in your courts, oh God, better than. Even if I'm a gate man, that's what David says. It's not true. The Lord is good. Now, this is the point I'm making. So if you criticize, when you get there that year, so you name your name Jumbo, you're expecting the next okay. Yeah, Pastor Banky, yes. Make sure those pastors are going to flood. As mean I'm lying to collect money. Danger will come. Time for flogging for lying to collect money. Brother John Bull. Eh? You're going to wonder, what? And I said, they will check the distance. 2 score minus 1. 39 lashes on his back. You'll be surprised. They would give the guy the senior flogging. And before they start the flogging, he said, excuse me, sir, I never preached. He said, yes, I know you never preached. But you ensured they were so broke, they had to steal. How? Remember, there was a time you prayed that if only I would enlarge this business. And I did. And I convicted you through different ways that this money is not for more houses and more cars. What did you do? You built more houses, bought more cars, then you and your children are going every year to Switzerland for holiday. The pastor, I made sure that the church was near your house so that his children could go to school. It was the 3rd year when his child could not take advantage of the admission into university. That was when he finally pushed himself to preach a gospel to collect money. That one, I hold you 85% responsible and him 15% responsible. The amount of cane I reserved for that was 100 strokes. So you are going to collect 85 of it, I'll be giving 15. And you'll be surprised. Now, though there will be no literal flogging, I'm not sure there will be literal flogging, but you understand my point. You understand my point? Why am I saying this? Sometimes people, you know, I said there are 2 reasons. One, that's one by one reason why you give to a preacher. Number 2 is because he has been a blessing to you. That's just, those are the 2 reasons. It is not one of the reasons that you want to protect your business so you connect it to his ministry. It's not right. I know it sounds logical. It is a former times matter. It is not a present day matter. In Christ Jesus, we don't do such things. That is what Jews were supposed to do. Maybe that's what the Babylonians will have done in their spiritual worship. One day I went for a program. That day I sat down. The man was preaching. He said, he has been thinking about it. Why has he not experienced breakthrough? He has been tightening and tightening and tightening and tightening. Breakthrough has not come. He has given offering and given offering and given offering. The breakthrough never showed. And he began to preach and began to pray. And the Holy Spirit said to him, you have not been servicing your prophet. You know, I was there. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And everybody was happy. Yes! They were jumping. I said, you know, did all of you swallow stupid tablets this morning? That day, my wife was with me, and I was looking like, what? Am I hearing this in a Christian church or a white garment church? That the reason why you have not prospered is that you are not servicing your prophet. That every Christian should get a prophet and start servicing it. Brethren, these things are not good, though. Let me tell you something about pastors and preachers and prophets. They are of like, they are of the same flesh as you. They are children of God just like the rest of the church. Are you getting my point? And listen, you must recognize that and just give honor to whom honor is due. For example, you respect age. If you are older and an older Christian, you've been a Christian for 25 years and you are 45 years old. And one small boy of 32 gets called into ministry yesterday. And he expects you to bow before him, call him attention, ask him whether his head is correct. If he says he's anointed, I said, do you think I'm unanointed? Your anointed is in ministry, my own is in doing business. I know some of you can't stomach what I'm saying. Anyway, if you're a preacher, listen. Anyway, let me not go. If he's the head over the assembly where you attend, it's different. Because there's a structure in spiritual things where authority, if you see a policeman, even though he's 25, you give him that honor. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you see somebody who holds power in a structure, you will respect it. But if he's not like that, he comes and says he's reverend this. Oh boy, drop that reverend title. You look like a small boy to me. That is the problem with people like you. You won't learn. You've been a Christian for only 15 years. in ministry for 3 years. I have been serving the Lord for 30 years consistently. I'm 50 years old. I'm not your mate. You see, small, small boys now because carry title to bishop, call their hair small. It's true. And the guy actually expects that my business will do well if I decide to be cutting a portion for him. Listen, the final sacrifice is Jesus Christ. That is what I'm trying to emphasize for you Christians, for all of us. What we do, and I'm going to start that and I close. What we do as believers, I said we should read somewhere, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read it. Christians behave, the amount of ignorance I hear and see displayed in what we call Christianity today is annoying and alarming. People say, after all, I paid my tithe, I never miss my first fruit. Why is my child falling sick? I'll tell you why your child is falling sick. It is simply because you allowed him or her to fall sick and you don't sit down there and pump the word of God into the place. That is all. It is not because you don't expect any special protection because of the amount of money you have dealt out to somebody. I hear it all the time. Why is my business not doing well? After I tithe regularly. In case you haven't heard it before, let me tell you, too, it's no guarantee of good. Listen, a regular tither with a stupid head will have a bad business. Did you hear what I said? There is a proper procedure for everything. You must know how to do your business. Your tithing does not guarantee that your business won't have problems. Your so-called offerings doesn't guarantee it. In fact, I came to tell you today that the moment you start thinking it does, this is the word of the Lord, it will have problems. What I expect to hear from Christians is this. After all, I laid hands on this business. I prophesied over it in the name of the Lord. I called upon the name of God over it. That's what I expect to hear. And now say, what is happening? How come I'm not seeing the results? Then we'll start discussing. But no, you know, I can't remember once somebody coming to me with those words. What I hear is that I give a prophetic seed towards it. What I hear is that I've been regular in my tithing. What I hear is that I have given first fruits towards it. I remember that young man that wrote us a mail. He said the very day he missed one job, they fired him from the other one. And he got confused. In my mind, good, you're about to enter into salvation. Because now you are asking questions. You have realized that what you are doing is not right. That something is out of order. I hear that all the time from Christians, and listen to me, it is alarming, and God has raised me up to come and correct this one. That brethren, it is not right. If you want to give to a preacher, please give to him. Don't think the security of your business, the prosperity of your business is tied to it. Because it is not. You hear people say that I'm starting a courier company. I'm going to look for a church to be carrying their things free. Better go and look for an insurance company to pay that money to. You will stand better chances of succeeding in that business than trying to look for a church to be paying the money. That's why people say that, look, as a ministry, we must start on that ministry to connect with the anointing. You know, there's something right here. Just say, I don't believe the word of it. Doesn't make any sense. Let's quickly read that so that we can close with Ephesians chapter 2. It said, let me just start from verse 1. I will jump quickly and get to verse 10, 11, where I'm going. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, all right, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. In answer in verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. He said verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. And raised up, verse 6 says, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. He now said, for we are his workmanship. Whatever we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we will walk in them. Let me read that again. It said, we are his workmanship. We were created in whom? In Christ Jesus. For what? For what? I didn't hear you well. For what? were created for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we will walk in them. I explained this for a few minutes and we're out of here. Now, I was saying something earlier, and this is where I want to pick it up again from, and I'll finish with this one next time, and hopefully that should be the end of the series. I've been saying again and again that we don't get to do these things because we want to get anything from God by them. I've said that again and again. I've said again and again also, if I said that today, that Jesus is the last sacrifice, is the end of all offerings. There is no offering again, really, apart from Jesus Christ. Even what Paul referred to, you read that Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, he said, I received the gifts that you sent, all right? Which he said, well, he said, it's an acceptable sacrifice unto God. He said in Romans chapter 12, that present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. If you read them well, those sacrifices in those contexts, they are actually figurative. They are figurative. They are not real. The real sacrifice is Jesus Christ. He was trying to explain that this is what we can give essentially to God. Because under the old covenant, there were two types of sacrifices. When you see the word offering in the old covenant, it could be anything. So they had grain offerings. You can bring corn to the temple. Your first fruit could be corn. Do you understand my point? But when they used the word sacrifice, it had to be blood. It had to be something that was killed and the blood was shed. So in reality, do you understand? The only sacrifice is Jesus Christ. That is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the whole world. But now because we are in Him, what can we give now? Because I said offerings could be anything. What is it that we are giving to God? Only two things we said. Number one, praise, thanksgiving. Number two is a lifestyle of doing good. But this is the point. We are not doing those things so as to, you know what I'm saying? To appease Him as we are offering Him a blood sacrifice. Or to bring out a blessing. We do them because we were created to do them. That's the summary. I've been speaking all this while. I'm not saying Christians don't do good works. I'm just saying that it is not the reason why God releases things to them. Except for a case of good administration. What I mean is that, and that's why in Christianity, you can't say I gave money and I got money. Get my point. You can't say it. What you get in Christianity is that I gave money and I got more money to give more. That's what that God does. God doesn't give you more to enjoy because you gave one before in service. What He does is that you have been faithful in a little thing. Be in charge of 10 cities. I don't know why I noticed that. It is what? Begin to own 10 cities. Was that what He said? What did He say? Be in charge. Run it for me. It's an elevation in the rank of responsibility. That's what it is. Joseph was not brought up to being a prime minister. Because Pharaoh was so happy and God was so happy that this boy needs to eat. Look at him, he's looking lame. We should feed him some more. No. He said, can we find somebody as wise as you? The nation is in crisis. We have 7 years of prosperity remaining before 7 years of intense abundance, which is 7 years of intense lack, which is going to wipe out the memory of the abundance. You look like the best man to do the job. It was a job. Listen, in life also, God owns our lives. By virtue of our faith in Christ Jesus, we don't have anything anymore that belongs to us. Your certificate is actually not yours. So you can't die for it. If God gets up tomorrow and says, listen, this certificate you worked for, in fact, I met one brother the other day. He said one day he went for a conference. They were praying and everything. And then the Holy Spirit said to him, I need that certificate. And that's it. He handed it over, not physically. He said, but what God said to him straight was simple. You will never work with this thing. And it's not a sign of I'm a very serious Christian. No. It is just that was what was, the life is not your own. That's why I always laugh. You know, my joke. I want to marry a man who can take care of me. God will create a whole human being to come and take care of you. What do you think you are? so full of yourself, you are proud. I'll marry a man that will take care of me. With all the problems in this life, somebody should not be just taking care of you. Just go and buy poison, drink it, then you save all of us trouble. When you are dead, we don't have to take care of you. What am I going to explain? Christians don't reason like that. I was created for good works. Who is the man or who is the woman together whom we can do the works we were both created to do? That's how Christians reason. That is what sacrifice is. It's not sacrifice. It's, I was taking that money. It was painful. If it is still painful, you are not fully born again. It remains small. No, Christians talk sometimes as if it was paining me, but I said, this is for God. If it's still paining you, you need to renew your mind. Somebody said the amount of pain when something is removed from your body, it shows the amount of attachment with which the thing was tied to you. When they remove your shirt, does it pain you? It's not attached. But let them pull your chin like this. What am I going to say? Every good work we do as believers, they are done. All those things are done because we're created to do them. Next time I'll talk about it. It now becomes a sign, listen to this, of our faith. When we do them or we don't do them. Are you getting my point? Now, please notice this. Let me say this as the story I gave earlier. The man who is giving to the ministry, he can be giving the former way, which is not the right way. Let me connect with that ministry so that as they are prospering, I've heard it before, connect with this work. So that as the work is going up, you too will be going up. It sounds nice. Brethren, it sounds nice. But believe me, it's not right. I will not connect with a company that is growing if I don't believe what they are doing. And if I believe in what they are doing, even if it's not growing, I pray for them more. Are you getting my point? We should stop being selfish. One man is connecting, in quotes, with a ministry so that they can protect, giving divine protection over his business. Another man, he doesn't require that. And I'm saying to you, you don't require it. Oh, God, you didn't hear what I said. Your business does not need to connect with a church or a ministry because it wants to progress. Your business has a blessing upon it, and that is in you. You are a child of God, and you are blessed. If you wake up in the morning, you prophesy upon that business a blessing. Get what I'm saying? Flows into it. We are not doing magic here. Say, which ministry are you connected to? However, as you are prospering in life, you realize God did not give you money so you can grow fatter. Aliko Dangote is not the fattest black man. He's only the richest black man. I'm not going to bring out an issue here. So you see, it is not about let's chop some more. So God is saying to you, the reason why I'm prospering, and this is a matter of fact, if you have more money than is common, I don't mean that around you. Do you understand my point? You know, your friends, you all left school. One got a job in civil service. One got a job in doing his own business. Then you got one heavy job where they are loading you monthly. Pam, half a million. Pam, 1 million. Listen, and you know you are not smarter than the other guys. You don't even need to pray too much. I can tell you that one direct. The mistake you will make is to start flying all over the world, driving expensive cars because you think you are lucky and they are not. One day we'll get to heaven. Are you getting my point? You actually have to give account of what you did with your life. What God, I've told Christians before. You stop, pastors, look, Pastor Kebuti, let me tell you what I do in Kingdom World. I'll give that one to you and I close, all right? When I started ministry, there's a prayer I pray. I still pray it once in a while. I say, Lord, send, he said, you know, Jesus said, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. You've heard me prophesy it. I believed it from time that 90% of the money that we'll spend in Kingdom World ministry shouldn't come from more than 12 people. Why did I choose 12? Simply because Jesus had 12 apostles. No serious spiritual reason. That if I tell you we spend ₦1 billion, it will happen one day. You understand that? 900 million will come from 12 people maximum. All the people are blessed worldwide. The rest of them, even if they are 1 million people put together, won't contribute more than 10%. Why? Because he said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. There are people who their job is to give money the way it is my job to preach. Now, I'm just down to explain something. So we take it from the other angle. So if you are there, if you are one of them, it is not about let me connect with that ministry. It is okay. Is that the ministry I was sent to? Are you getting my point? You're also on assignment. Go and fulfill your assignment. It is not about I connect so I can get. It is that, is that them? Do you understand my point? There are those who will look and say, yes, I have been sent to help this man. Some of them you will never know. Maybe you're a preacher. Preachers need to hear this because the problem they have is they don't know how money will come. That's why they keep telling lies. This is how money comes. The same faith you are preaching, you have to practice it. Are you getting my point? You said they should pray for their problems. Why can't you pray for your own money problem? What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. If you're a preacher, that's how it comes. Pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest. And don't be in a hurry. Relax. You know, if you let me say it again and again, there are things I will just do in this life for the fun of it. One day I will just stand on the road. I don't need a cow. I don't need it. I will just stand on the road. I will just see an expensive car pass. I will just say, I will just tell my wife, name two guys for me. Quick. Just name, okay. Tell them to go and buy that car, come. Not for any other thing. I don't need the car. I will just rub the car, use it 2 times, and then maybe forget. Why did you do it? I want to just show that I'm blessed. I want to just make myself feel happy. Yes. I know those two people, they are inside here this night. In fact, amen. Those two are particularly here tonight. Amen. I will call you one day. And it's not, and listen to me, it's not money out of, this one is for pastor, we have to kill ourselves. No. It is more like, I know, say you get. Are you getting my point? I know. In fact, I knew that they paid last week. And you told me, and I warned you that I will be coming for my portion. Listen, that's how we do things in Christianity. We are not begging God. Remember my song. I didn't have to beg him or promise anything. I just accepted Jesus, and he took my sins away. He took my poverty away. He took my problems away. I didn't have to beg him. I didn't have to promise anything. I just accepted him. I just believed his word, and it came to pass in my life. Listen, we have to be able to give testimonies that give God 100% of the glory, not the one which we share it. And as I planted that seed and I said, and I did this one, I began to call. And then I connected by time, I. Then God came. You see, I 8 times, God once. But no, this is your testimony. You will say, ever since the word of God came to me, and his grace began to flow in my life. It is God, his grace. Are you getting my point? Oh, I knew that my Father in heaven loves me. You see, that's his name. That's it. He punctuates everything. And today, I am flowing in his mercy and I'm enjoying his blessing. His name is everywhere. Yes. What did you do? Well, he said, I should believe and I obeyed. Who's free tonight? Say, Lord, I thank you for freedom. Just thank him. Just thank him there. Just thank him there. Just thank him there. I've taken so much time. I think I've said everything I'm supposed to say. Jesus, the final offering. Jesus, the final offering.